It's an honor. You go to the hospital and you go look around at the folks that's in the hospital that can't go to church. And you look at the people that won't go to church. And you think what a pleasure and what a joy it is to be in God's house.
Amen.
I've always enjoyed going to church. I'm glad, like Miss Brenda said and Miss Shirley said, I'm glad we have a church where it's a good place to worship. And you don't, I don't like to go to them churches where they're fighting all the time and there's tension. And I'm glad that this church is set up right and it's running the way God wants it to. And you don't have one family in control and you don't have one daddy rabbit that you got to clear everything through and all that bunch of mess. You can't get nothing done like that. And so I thank God for this church. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Read a few verses of Scripture and try to be led of the Lord this morning. The message of God laid on my heart has to do with I wished every Christian I know could be here this morning and hear what I got to say about this. And I want to talk about the subject of joy, how to keep your joy. You know, Christian people, it seems like, I know we're living toward the end of this thing. I know that it's almost over, people. You say, preacher, you keep saying that because it's true. What kind of preacher would I be if I got up here and pretended like we're having a pajama party and nothing's going to happen? It is going to happen. Judgment of God's going to fall on this nation and around the world. And it's happening now. It's already starting. But our leaders are so ignorant they can't tell it. They can't see what's happening. But I'm telling you, it's coming. And not only that, but the rapture is coming. God's people's going to leave here with a shout. And brother, we're not coming back until 7 years later. And then He's going to take over. And we're going to run this outfit. We're going to show them how it's supposed to be done. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, the Bible said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Now notice how many times He uses the word joy and rejoicing through this passage. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. You didn't know how to say them words, did you? Amen? I'm highly educated. I just listened to Alexander Scorby say it, that's how I knew how. That they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me. Good. That goes to tell you a woman at a work is a good helper. I mean, that's a blessing. I always told my boys, don't date them girls that won't work and get dirty and won't wash dishes, won't cook, won't mow grass or weed eat or change the oil or skin a catfish. No, you don't want a woman like that. It went cold on us there, people. You don't want one of them women that won't work. Amen. Read Proverbs 31. Brother, she's a worker. Amen. And the Bible, praise God. And it said, those women labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Now, the peace of God, it passes all understanding. You can't even understand it. But it said it'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How you keep a pure mind, think on this kind of stuff. Those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I would speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to preach just a few minutes on this, how to keep your joy. Yeah. We see Christian people around us all the time that say they're Christians, but their face don't show it. Right. You know that little old song, if happy and you know it, and let your face show it or something like that, stomp your feet, clap your hands and all that. Well, Christians don't show it. And I'm afraid that Christian people are struggling. will instead just keep your joy. Now listen, joy don't mean that everything in your life is perfect. It just means you just have joy. I mean, it means you got peace and happiness. Thank God you got joy down in your soul. I mean, the world around you can be crumbling and falling apart, and you can still have joy. And brother, I believe God's people can have it. Here we read a man, he's telling us, he said, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. And he talked about the joy and the crown of the people he had won to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture. Paul was writing this. He was not in a mansion at a party when he wrote this. He was not on the red carpet at the Oscar Awards. He was not receiving a payment from the lottery. He was not about to be crowned the king of a great nation. He was not about to marry a beautiful woman. He was not inheriting a sum of money. But Paul, what he was doing, and when he was writing this about rejoicing and having joy and excitement, he was sitting in a cold, dark, dreary, damp jail cell when he wrote those words. And he said, oh, the joy that's down in my soul. I want to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Those people back in that day, they had something that me and you just don't seem to have. Brother, we got such superficial religion. I mean, brother, we can shout a little bit, maybe. I mean, if the preacher gouges and prod us a little bit, but that's about as deep as it goes. And brother, we go to church when we want to, and if we don't want to, we don't go. But I'll tell you, those people back in those days, Paul spent most of his days in jail and under persecution, and he was beaten by the Jews and received stripes and all those things he talked about over in the book of Corinthians. I was thinking just this morning, if you don't have it, get you a copy. Or I'll get you a copy. Travis has got two other copies. Buy the book by John Fox, The Book of Martyrs. Oh, I was thinking about those people. Those people that persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, there's so many killed. They were tortured. They did unspeakable things. They would take women that were Christians. They would take men's wives. And they would cut them open and pour like deer corn down in them and stitch them back up and throw them out in the arena and turn a bunch of wild dogs loose on them. And let the wild hogs gore them to death while their husbands and their kids walk just because they did what you're doing. Bless God Almighty, some of you wouldn't even pick up a track and put it in your pocket. I'll tell you, shame on you. I'm telling you, brother, these people, they had joy unspeakable and full of glory. And brother Paul was in a jail cell and he said, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
I've read about some of those people, some of our forefathers, they used to have to hide out to do what we're doing. And they would take them out and torture them. And it took this one man one time. I read about this guy. They told him, they said, if you'll get down and pray to the saints. They brought this little altar into his jail cell and said, if you'll pray to the saints and do homage to the Pope and pray to Mary and recant your profession of Jesus Christ and get this stuff out of your head, they said, we won't kill you. And he just took and kicked that altar and kicked it out the door. And, brother, they came back in there and took that man and cut his foot off. I mean, they hacked it off, brother. We'll teach you to kick the altar. And they throwed him back to jail cell. And, brother, he still sung the praises of God. And he didn't recant. There's a few of them did recant, but most of them stood with the stuff. I'll tell you, the Bible said that they wandered around in caves and goats and sheepskin. And they were tortured, had their kids sold asunder, and all kinds of unspeakable things. And, brother, they held to their faith because they had something went deeper than what you see on the outside. I want you to know this morning, brother, God's people, it seems like, brother, you just blow out of them. Well, up there, they'll quit and they'll get out of place and they'll get out of joint and they'll leave church and go down the road to another church and leave there when they get mad. I'll tell you something, brother, you got joy when you can shout in the jail cell. I'll tell you another book I'd advise you to get and read, The Hiding Place. Well, them women hid those Jews over during the Holocaust. Wasn't it over in Holland, somewhere over there? They took them Jews and hid them in their house. They finally got caught. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy and her daddy and all of them got arrested. They was old people. They was old like me. She was like 55 years old and got sent to prison in a concentration camp. And they'd march those women out there naked as a jaybird in that cold over in Germany. It's, frigid cold. And then women stand there at attention and stomp just to stay alive, just keep their blood pumping. I'm talking about old women, brother. Old women and men. And they drop out like flies and die. And them blessed goddamn devils had dragged their own dead bodies over on a heap and burned them. And brother, those women, they kept their faith. And they won soldiers to God. They won other prisoners to God. And they did not recant their faith. They stuck to the stump and they held to the right. And brother, I want to tell you, they had joy and sung his praises from a prison cell.
Amen.
And some of y'all wouldn't even go on visitation because you got better things to do. Amen. Today's going to be time to haul off and skin you. I hope you can take it. Amen. But I want to tell you, brother, the Bible teaches us here in this passage, in this chapter, as Paul's closing out the book of Philippians, he's telling them a few things, and if you can read it and study it, you'll find out what he's saying, how to keep joy. He said, if I can have joy, surely you ought to be able to. I bet you when we meet Paul up in heaven, and he knows that we were living during the days of the rapture, right before the tribulation, I bet he'll say, oh, y'all must have had it bad. I only got in prison and beat half to death. I got lost at sea. I didn't really have it that bad. What did y'all go through? What are you going to tell him? Oh, the pews wasn't comfortable. We had to get them repadded. My hot end got sore. Oh, brother, I want to tell you what. They would not believe in a million years how easy we got it. I want to tell you, brother, God's people. I'm telling you, brother, before the rapture, it may get worse. Brother, this thing might come unhinged before the Lord comes back. And you may have to face some things you ain't never faced. You may be looking at $10 a gallon gas and no job and start arresting people for street preaching and witnessing and knocking on doors and going to church. Oh, preacher, that can't happen here. That's exactly the mindset that the devil wants. And before a society crumbles, right before it does, that's the mindset people have. I'll mention a few things and I'll let you go. How to keep your joy. Number one, be consistent. Look at verse number 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. In other words, be consistent, brother. Let your joy be full all the time. Brother, listen, I'm a pastor of a church. And there's times I feel like shouting and running the aisles and jumping the pews. And there's sometimes I come to church, I don't even feel like getting up and preaching. Sometimes you get up to preach, you don't know where your people's at. And you don't know why somebody's got their lip pooped. And you don't know why somebody's trying to stir up trouble in the church. But I'll tell you what Paul said. He said, be consistent, brother. He said, just keep on plowing. My daddy gave me some advice when I started preaching. He said, son, don't ever forget this. He said, don't deviate from that King James Bible. He said, preach the book. He said, let them have it with both barrels. He said, if you make somebody mad in the flesh, be a man and apologize. But if that book makes them mad, let them trip over their lower lip going out the door. I want to tell you, brother, and he told me, he said, be instant in season and out of season. He said, when the Holy Ghost falls, he said, run the aisles and jump the pews and shout. But he said, some days it's going to be cold and dark and you ain't going to feel like preaching and people talked about you and they're lying against your family. He said, just get up there and open that blessed old book and part their hair, son, and let them have it. Pin their ears back and be consistent.
Amen.
I'll tell you something this morning. If you want to have some joy, be consistent. Be consistent in your Bible. Some of you don't have no joy because the only Bible you get is what I read to you. Shame on you. Your wife ought to be able to tell me just like that when you read your Bible. Every morning, preacher, 7 o'clock, he reads his Bible while he's drinking coffee. Your kids ought to be able to tell me, when's your daddy read his Bible? Oh, no. That's bad. I didn't think I'd get a shout on that. You ain't gonna be consistent reading that book. Listen, you gotta have some nourishment. If the only nourishment you're getting is when you're coming to church, you ain't getting it all. I tell you, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and with His Word. Every day you need to set time aside, early in the morning, late in the evening, on your dinner break, whatever it is. You get off by yourself somewhere, and the very least you can do is give Him 15 or 20 minutes and read 3 or 4 chapters of His blessed Holy Word. I tell you, He went through a lot to get that book to us. I tell you, as men and women's died, have given their life and suffered this blessed King James Bible. And by the very least you can do is spend a few minutes a day in it.
Amen.
Be consistent in your Bible and be consistent in your church attendance. Well, hallelujah. Preach right there. I wish the church was full this morning. I want to tell you something. I preach it. I know this ain't going to make no difference with some of you, but I'm going to say it. I know some of you still going to do what you want to do, and when you decide you want to do something else rather than come to church, you're going to go off and do it. But I'm going to say it because God requires me to say it, and I've got the backbone to do it. If you don't like it, you can get up and hit the door. I'm going to say the truth while I'm standing here. You can vote me out tomorrow, but while I'm here, I'm going to tell you what He said to do. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ suffered, and He bled, and He died, and He said, go to church, and bless God, you ought to go to church. I know it don't do much good to preach on church attendance anymore, but I'm still going to do it. Amen. You ought to be consistent. I thank God most of our people here, is that right? I mean, like clockwork. But brother, shame on you if you lay out of church to go do something silly. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed people know I miss church over a ball game or to go shopping or any trivial thing like that. I know that rubs you wrong, but bless God, let it rub. I mean, if that room makes the fur fly, turn the cat around the other way is all I can tell you. Brother, you ought to be faithful and consistent in the house of God. I ain't bragging on myself. I ain't much. I never have thought I was much. I still don't think. Hey, look up here. We ain't praying. We're preaching.
Yeah.
Look up here at me. We're not reading the Bible. If you can't take it, don't holler preach when I get up here.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I ain't much, and I never have claimed to be much. One thing I can honestly say with pride, not evil pride, but I've raised my kids according to that book. And brother, I can count on one hand how many times my family's missed the house of God. Brother, when the doors are open, they come to church. And when I'm dead and gone, they walk up here, look at my body. One thing they say about me, Brother Sam, I couldn't buy them all a new car. I couldn't provide them with a bunch of money. I can't leave them a bunch of money and all that kind of stuff. But they can say this, Daddy never laid out of church. Daddy never laid at the house. And I can say, you know, what? When it comes church time, we knew where we were supposed to be. We know where we were supposed to be on Wednesday night. We knew where we were supposed to be Sunday morning and Sunday night. I know some of you ain't liking this, but I'm loving every minute of it.
Amen.
Be consistent in your Bible, in your church attendance.
Amen.
I know a young lady right now, if I call her name, you know her, that went to a college and dropped off the soccer team before it ever started. Because the coach said, we got practice Wednesday night. She said,
amen.
I'm out.
Amen.
You see, yeah, but she's not a good ball player. I'd put her up against any of you athlete boys in here.
Amen.
Ask them how she played at camp, volleyball.
Amen.
You boys couldn't hang with her, I don't think. I watch these girls play. I watch them play soccer, and it scares me. They're more brutal than boys are. They ain't got no mercy. Girls are crazy, brother. I'm talking about a young lady that was a state all-star. I'm not talking about some flunky that sat on the bench. I'm talking about somebody that's got plaques all over the wall being the MVP and the coach's player of the year and all that stuff. And brother, when the first time they said, we're going to practice Wednesday night, she said, I'll have to drop out. And came straight back to church with big tears running down her face. She said, Daddy, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to sell God out for a ball game. I want to tell you, brother, I'm so proud of somebody like that loves God, got some character and some integrity. You say, preacher, I don't care what you say. I know exactly what you're saying, but you know what I'm saying.
Amen.
My kids are going to know when they're grown where the priorities are.
Right.
Preacher, I don't think it's going to hurt Wednesday night to go do so and so. Keep telling yourself that. Here's the issue that you're not thinking. One of these days you're going to die. You do know that, don't you? And you're going to face somebody that's got wounds in his hands and feet.
Amen.
And there's so many days in the week. And there's Sunday and Wednesday. And he's going to have it up on a great big screen. Every one of them. And he's going to look at you. Why didn't you worship with me on Wednesday night? I died for you. Why didn't you go to church that Sunday morning? Why didn't you go to church that Sunday night? And you're going to say, well, Lord, the Super Bowl was on. We had to do this. No, you don't have to do none of that junk. Listen, I ain't crazy. I know some people have to. I know sometimes you get sick. I missed church last Sunday night. I couldn't help it. I was in the emergency room, but I wanted to be here.
Amen.
My heart was here. But I'm trying to tell you something. If you want to have joy, make up your mind, read your Bible, and go to church. Well, you say, well, preacher, my ox in a ditch. Yeah, but did you push him in? You know what the ox in a ditch means? That means if an emergency took place. An emergency. I know I'm getting on some of y'all's crawl, but that's all right, you need it.
Amen.
Bless God, you need it. Amen. I need it. We need to know where our priorities are. You're never going to have fullness of of joy when you treat God like a spare tire. Be consistent in your Bible, your church attendance, and in your prayer life. Your daddies ought to pray with your wives and with your kids every day. It shouldn't be unusual for your kids to hear you get down and pray. I mean, you shouldn't put it off on your kids at supper time and make them say, God is great, God is good, blah, 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 just so you don't have to pray. Brother, you ought to just start praying right there at the restaurant. Just haul off, start praying like a wild man. Be consistent. Number two, y'all glad I'm moving on, ain't you? I didn't mean to get on a tear right there, but you know when you're out fishing and get hung, you don't just break the line, you just circle a while until it comes loose. When the dentist hits a nerve, he knows that's where the trouble is.
Amen.
Number two, be careful. Be consistent, but be careful. Look at verse 8. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Be careful. Listen, there's some things a Christian has to be careful about or it'll take your joy away. Be careful about your goals in life.
Amen.
You teenagers, look up here. The preacher's trying to help you. Be careful what you set for a goal in life. You say, preacher, I want to do this. I want to do that. Ain't nothing wrong with doing some of those things. But you better make sure it's what God wants you to do.
Amen.
The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all his thoughts. Psalm 10:4. Somebody said humility does not mean you think less of yourself. It means you think of yourself less often. Amen? Be careful about your goals in life. The reason I ain't saying that to you old people, because you ain't done nothing in 40 years. Ain't much chance you're going to do anything anyway. I'm going to leave y'all alone for a few minutes. I'm going to get on the young people. They might do something. There might be hope for them. There might be a chance they'll get fired up and make up their mind, hey, I'm going to do something for God with my life. If all you pursue is riches and wealth and money and sports and activities and recreation, what are you going to do when you get 40, 45, 50 years? All that stuff's gone. You're going to get old, kids. Prepare for down the road. Don't prepare for tomorrow. Prepare for down the road. Think ahead. Use your head a little bit. You say, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. I know. But you're getting it. You're going to get it while you're sitting here getting your wagon loaded. Boy, I can feel it, some of you. You know, I think some people just ain't had anybody to really preach to them. That's why it rubs them wrong. That's why it bruises them up a little bit. This King James Bible, son, it'll cut you to pieces. I ain't preached nothing that ain't in this Bible. By the way, that church attendance I was preaching on, I got a Bible for that too. Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. Brother Joe quoted it this morning. Bible says that. Be at church. Well, preachers, Wednesday nights ain't that big a deal. Well, tell him that when you stand there before his throne, when he's got his scars in his hands and feet. Tell him that. You don't have to tell me. Because I'm going to come to church and preach anyway. I get paid the same. I ain't going to cry because you ain't here. I got mean, didn't I? Be careful in your goals and be careful in your gods. What are you talking about, preacher? Anything you worship, you're obsessed with is a god. Whether it's a ball team, a girlfriend, a new car, a new job, whatever it is, if you worship that thing and that's all you can think about, I'm trying to help you this morning. Praise God. Be careful in your goals and your gods, and be careful in your grumblings. Numbers 11:1 said that there was a bunch of people got to grumbling, complaining, and whining, and griping, and, you know, and God killed a bunch of them out there in the wilderness. God just kept... There's something that really turns God off, and that's an unthankful heart and somebody griping.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't tell your troubles to other people. 95% don't care, and the other 5% are glad you got them.
Yeah.
That's the truth, kids, I'm trying to tell you. Be careful about your grumbling. Don't go through life complaining and grumbling. Kids, don't gripe about your mom and daddy. They're trying to keep your soul out of hell, and they're trying to keep you from throwing your life down the toilet, and there's going to come a day, mom and daddy's going to die, and you're going to cry your eyeballs out.
Amen.
If you got a Christian mom and daddy, that's the best friend you've got.
Amen.
And the next best friend you've got is your pastor if he preaches the hide off of you.
Amen.
Amen? Be consistent, be careful. Number three, be controlled. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding you well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Paul said, be controlled. That's how you keep your joy. Be controlled. What are you talking about, preacher? Ephesians said this, 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control your life. In your work, in your words, and in your witness. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, the Bible said. We ought to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, in our work, everything we do, whatever your job is, if you're a mechanic, God needs a mechanic. If you work in a body shop, God needs a body shop. If you're a brick mason, if you're a painter, or whatever, brother, have you worked on a garbage truck picking up garbage? Thank God there's nothing wrong with that. God needs people on the garbage truck department. I mean, in every aspect of life, God needs Christian people to be a witness on their job. Be controlled. I'm going to move on to my next point. Y'all done moved on, hadn't you? Number four, I said be consistent, be careful, be controlled. But number four, be content. That's the key right there, brother. If you want to have joy, look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you'll learn to be content. Now, I'm not saying you should just go sit under a bridge and say, this is my house, I don't want anything better. You know what I'm saying. Don't be obsessed with getting a bigger car because your neighbor's got a bigger car, or a bigger house because he's got a bigger house. Be content. Paul said, he was talking about that over there. He's talking about how to be content in all those things. And he said, I've learned to be content. He said, whether I'm full or whether I'm empty. He said, in verses 11 and 12, he said, I've learned to be content. And he said, I've learned that even if I'm full, I'll be content. And then when I'm empty, I'll be content. You know what that tells me? That tells me your life's going to be full of mountains and valleys and highs and lows and good times and bad times. You've got to learn just to be content regardless if it's raining or snowing or sunshine. Amen. Be content. Well, praise God, this must be what God wants me to go through. 1 Timothy 6:6 said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? Some Christian people are never content. Never content. That's why they complain. You can give people $1,000 and they want $2,000. You can give a man a new truck and he's not satisfied because he ain't got a new bass boat to pull with the new truck. Right? That's the way people are. And God said that, I believe it was over in the book of, where was it at? It was over in the book of Proverbs 27. He said, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. In other words, if you've learned just to be content. And the Bible said John the Baptist was preaching, and they said, what must we do? And the soldiers did, and he said, do violence to no man, neither accusing him falsely, and be content with your wages. I mean, if you're going hungry, there ain't nothing wrong with wanting a raise, but if you don't get one, just be content and live your life because, hey, guess what? You may be checking out here tomorrow. And all that worrying and fretting over making a little bit of money, a little bit bigger house, and a little bit newer car ain't going to amount to a hill of beans, as them mountain people used to say, because Solomon said, all under the sun is vanity. He said, everything we do is just vanity. It's a waste of time. So, learn how to be content. Ronnie, come to the piano. I thought about that song this morning. Talking about being content. If you'll ever do a little research on most of these old good old hymns, these praise new songs, I don't think they come from nowhere. I think somebody just thinks them up and puts a melody to them. But them old hymns got stories behind them. Amen. You know, there's a place you can look them up called Cyber Hymnal, and it gives you the history behind a song. But y'all know the story about Spafford, you know, when his daughters were died out in the Atlantic Ocean. He wrote this song. He said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, listen to this next line. Whatever my lot, whatever, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. What he's saying there is, when peace like a river comes my way, or when sorrow comes my way, I have to learn whatever my lot, it is well. See, you're not always going to be healthy and wealthy. Now, Benny Chicken and all them other guys try to tell you that, but you ain't. This preacher's telling you the truth. You ain't going to stay healthy. You ain't going to stay robust. You ain't going to always have money. Some of you might, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? Everybody ain't going to be rich. Everybody ain't going to be Donald Trump, and everything ain't going to be perfect. But you have to learn to be content and say, well, Lord, whatever you've sent my way, even if it means poor health, even if it means I'm not going to really have a whole lot of money and I'm going to have to work hard my whole life. But look at it like this. The alternative is you could be in hell this morning.
Amen.
You could be in hell burning. Remember that song we sung a while ago, If I Got What I Deserve? If you got what you deserve, if I got what I deserve, we'd both be in hell this morning burning. Because our sin, the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. Our sins put Him on the cross. He paid our sin debt. If we reject Him, hell is our home. But you can have your joy, and you can keep joy if you do these few little simple things like Paul did. If he can shout from a jail cell, Paul and Silas was in Acts 16 was in jail. Peter was in jail. He must not have been too worried. He's asleep. The angel had come wake him up.
Amen.
He must have had peace. How come it is we got everything? We ain't got no peace.
Amen.
How come it is? Paul, listen to this. Paul couldn't text anybody and tell them where he's at. Paul couldn't get on his laptop and email anybody.
Right.
He couldn't Twitter. I ain't really sure what that is. Now, Chuck can do that. Wherever Chuck is, he can Twitter. You know, that's a different kind. And Paul didn't have a TV to watch. He didn't have a weight room. How come he had all that joy and then you got everything, just the touch of a finger? And we got no joy. Something's wrong. Something's wrong, people. We better learn how to do these things because before this thing ends, who knows? The church could go through some bad times before this thing's over, before the tribulation hits. We're not going through the tribulation, but the Bible don't say we're going to get out of here scot-free. Let's all stand.